Ooh, gorilla grip. She got that gorilla grip. Let's see.
She got that JJ Pay.
Is that jar lid too tight? You can't get that nut off.
Get that gorilla grip. Get that pussy.
It's your DA.
We're going to have to leave a lot of that on the cutting room floor.
Oh, for sure.
Kuba, yeah. Kuba, please. Please. I don't know what you're going to do with that.
Everything that's chauvinistic, put it on the floor. So that's like
at least 10 seconds left. Yeah. That's about 5 seconds.
It was about 75%.
Maybe use something from last week. I don't know. Just
you are now listening to Decoding 40.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. It's Decoding 40 time. And I am your host, Vincent Perez, this week. And I am joined by my two esteemed colleagues.
What's up? This is your boy, L.O. And I am hungry like Lake Lanier, ready to eat my latest victims.
This is Alaric.
That was a bit dark, but I like it.
Well, Lake Lanier is getting a new entertainment thing and water park on.
Really?
Yeah. So look forward to number of stories of missing people.
Yeah, people missing. Die there every year.
So yeah, because it's over a black town. It was a right. Lake created over a black town. So I don't think they've gotten a message that vengeance is theirs.
I hope Jordan Peele doesn't know anything about it.
But hold up. So
because I got to write that script before he does.
Is this a whites only water park? Because obviously black folks are like, I'm not going to that motherfucker.
No, black people. Matter of fact, I think Usher's one of his sons experienced a considerable
that was injury. His stepson.
Oh, stepson.
Yeah.
Drowned.
Is he still alive? I don't know if he died.
I thought he might have died.
Maybe he did. But several deaths have occurred on Lake Lanier.
Yeah, that much I do know. That much I do know. All right, so, you know, before we get started with the show, we're going to do a little housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
So make sure that if you want to reach us, you reach out to decoding40@gmail.com to email us. You can also give us a call at 619-940-4040. You can leave a message, send us a text. Let us know how we're doing on the show. Let us know how you're doing out there in Radio Land. Out there in Radio Land. So also, again, make sure that you email us at decoding40@gmail.com. So as we usually do, we have our check.
Give us money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can actually cash app us at $Decoding40. We definitely take small change and big bills. So make sure that you holler us with some money because it will go to a good, it'll probably go to one of our bar tabs. But that's besides the point.
Oh,
but
you know what else I was thinking? If you were a small business and you would like to support this podcast by sponsoring.
Yes.
Contact us. Definitely. Our rates aren't that low. Our rates aren't that high.
No, we're not.
You know, we're very accommodating. Mm-hmm. And we can help each other. We'll promote your business. You promote the podcast. Everybody wins.
No doubt. So start that over again. I don't know. I'm tongue twisted right now.
Ow.
I don't know what's going on with me right now.
Meow.
Meow. What is that, a cat?
You're caught in the cat hole.
I'm caught in the cat hole. Meow. Help me. I'm in a cat hole.
What cat?
What cat? Meow. Anyway. All right. So it's that time of the show where we do our normal check-in with everybody in the crew. So which one of you guys want to go first this week?
So Friday night was a great night. I got to go to a restaurant that I haven't been to in 6 years, and the food was literally amazing. And what was funny is I was waiting for the meal and it took like 20, 25 minutes for the food to come out. And I hadn't really eaten on Friday. So I was like, I wanted to make sure I ate a big meal. And when it finally, when my buzzer went off, I was so excited. And I got lamb, pickled red cabbage, hummus, yellow rice, something else and something else and something else. When food is as good as you remember it, and it maybe even better,
yep,
that is such a satisfying feeling. So I ate that food and I enjoyed it and I ate everything and I'm just scraping the plate. And the lady next to me, she kind of caught my eye and I looked at her like, lady, I don't give a damn what you're thinking right now.
Sir, take a breath between bites.
I probably look out of control crazy eating this food right now. But then I drank two mules and then made my way to the surprise party for Alaric. And
surprise.
Was introduced to the slowest bartender ever in history. I think if he had moved any slower, we would have been making him drinks and paying him for it.
Yo, not only did it take him 75 hours to make a drink, but the drink tasted like shit. How do you take that long to make a fucking drink and it tastes bad?
What did you order?
A fucking mojito. Wow. It tasted like seltzer water with ice. I didn't taste any liquor at all. I was like, I looked at the wife and was like, is there liquor in this? Am I bugging the fuck out? Like, it was horrible. It was horrible.
No mint, no sugar, just
nothing.
Seltzer.
It was seltzer and ice.
But I just couldn't understand why he was taking so long to make these drinks. And then had the audacity to stop and talk to people.
Yes.
Bro, you're not on that program. This isn't Tom Cruise and cocktails. You need to focus and get these drinks done.
And it was one bartender with like three people behind the bar.
Right.
Two guys getting ice and one guy. The time it took him to, what do they call that, muddle? Mm-hmm. Muddle the mint for the fucking mm-hmm. mojito. I could have grown like seven plants.
But he had no sense of urgency
at all.
Very weird to watch him work. Like, wow.
He was on the exact opposite of an upper.
Right. Like I literally at one point thought to myself, I could jump back behind this bar, make everything that he's trying to make, and then sit him down and just say, listen, just walk out.
That's my time.
Yeah. And let somebody else come here, because it was horrendous service. Like, I only got one beer. I'm glad I only got one beer. I'm glad I only got beer, because if I had to watch him mix a drink, I would have lost it.
It took that long just to get a beer.
Yeah. So when you walked in, and it was funny because I had turned to what's your friend's name is Nelson?
Yeah.
I turned to Nelson and I was like, oh, we're busted. We had been standing there for at least 20 minutes mm-hmm. to order our drinks.
Wow.
Yeah, I waited about, I waited at least 5 to 8 minutes. And I kept looking back at Elle like, the fuck, are we in Bizarro Land?
Right. And I said to you, he's an artisan. But jokingly thinking, maybe he's really taking his time to make some great drinks. Mm-mm. No, he is not an artisan.
I'm not going to mention the name of the bar, but they have another bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I know the owner from back way back in the day. That's why I'm not going to mention the bar.
Okay.
And the other bar has bartenders just as bad.
No.
Just as bad. I didn't experience what you guys experienced, because you guys were gracious enough to buy me drinks and I didn't have to actually go to the bar. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a very similar experience at their other bar. And it was not the same bartender. It's not the same. I think they kind of bring people in that not as experienced. There must
when he hires people, does he go, is it take you 20 minutes to make a drink? You're hired.
Well, they
does it taste like shit at the end? You're hired.
Right.
I guess that keeps people in the bar. Keeps them waiting.
No, but it doesn't keep them rotating quickly. Right. Like you need to be getting people like at least two drinks an hour.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's horrible.
It was absolutely horrible. But the next bar we went to was a lot better. The drinks were flowing a lot faster. I did hate that there was smoking in the back room, because now my clothes smell all like smoke.
Yeah. It's so. supposed to be cigar room.
And they smoke other than cigars.
Yeah.
Devil's lettuce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wacky to wacky.
Yeah, that would have been if I had known that that's where we were going, I would have brought some cigars, but obviously I didn't know.
That's right. So but yeah, a great night overall. Very glad I was able to make it out. Oh, by the way, I did stop at another Jamaican bakery that I liked over there and got me a beef patty. And I had a beef patty in my pocket while we were at the place.
You got a secret beef patty in his pocket.
Oh my God. You know, beef patty stashed away
throughout the night. And I was like, I should have got two.
Hold up. Elton going into the bathroom, taking nibbles and shit and putting it back in his pocket.
He slumped down in the back of the Uber.
Right.
On his way.
Oh, no, I didn't eat any at all in the Uber because I really do try to respect their cars. But I had it in my jacket pocket and I was nibbling throughout the night. But like I said, I should have gotten two. Should have gotten two. Because that place has such great beef patties and has a great flavor. So now I have to figure out the next time I'm going to be out that way. But, you know, other than that, I have started Rich Paul's book, Lucky Me. And I am very into this book. The detail that he gives in terms of his life growing up is fascinating. And it's raw and honest. And he talks about his mother's drug addiction. And he talks about how he was the product of an out of wedlock relationship where his father was still married, and just the poverty and how it shaped him and all the people that he had eventually grown up to work with, and how just navigating all these different things that we see as sinful, like gambling and prostitution and late night drinking and all of these things sort of helped him navigate what is now the business world and NBA and sports entertainment. Mm-hmm. And it has given him sort of a foundation in order to make tough decisions and provide his clients with sort of this iron fist resolve that helps him make these mega deals. Cause I forgot how many clients he has, but he's basically managing $3 billion in contracts right now.
Wow.
And it's a fascinating story. And I saw him in an interview a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago at this point, but he was talking about how his jump shot is out of control. And he talks about why it's out of control, because there was a basketball made out of a milk crate, a basketball hoop made out of a milk crate where there was no backboard. Wow. So if you were going to shoot, you had to shoot directly into the milk crate.
Right.
So from that's how he was able to perfect his jump shot. But so it's like stories like that that kind of give you texture to who he is as a person and his life. And I'm thoroughly enjoying this book. I highly recommend it. So it's Rich Paul, Lucky Me. So if you have an opportunity to read it or listen to it, I would suggest that you do so. In other news, I would love to know what the hell is going on in India, because the videos that are coming out right now are absolutely out of control. They're just men physically assaulting women. The stories about, there was a couple who had a travel vlog.
All right.
Wife was gang raped by a bunch of men. I'm like, these are grown men acting like barbarians in 2024, like they've never seen a woman before.
Right.
I saw another video where there's these guys just literally groping women. And then there's another video where the guys are just beating on this one woman just because, as it appears, she's a woman. And I'm like,
was she a foreigner or
no? She's an Indian woman.
Right.
And when the video kind of tunes into the situation, she is on the ground covering her face and they're just punching her, kicking her.
Is so, this some sort of holiday we don't know about where they beat up and rape women? Like, what the fuck is going on? Hates
women. The way that it's coming off is like their culture hates women.
I think it's too convenient to wrap it up in a package like that, because I don't think that's actually true.
And that's what the part that's bothering me. Yeah. Because then it's like, so what is this narrative supposed to support? And why are we being fed this information right now?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Here's one thing that's abundantly clear. Women are in danger no matter where they go on the planet. That's not okay.
Right.
But you also cannot go into some place and not respect the culture, not understand the culture. Meaning, if their culture says that a whore wears shorts, don't wear your shorts there. And I'm not saying that that in any way that justifies the behavior, but just as a means of protecting yourself as a female traveler. And I don't know if that's the case. It's a
different perspective when we were talking about Freaknik, but I'll let that ride.
Well, yeah, because you're not leaving your country or your culture. There's not a different set of rules because you're in Atlanta.
But there was. There was a different set of rules during Freaknik in Atlanta.
I'm sorry. That's a bit...
Culture...
Culturally...
It's fluid,
you should
right?
be in America, no matter where you go, you should be able to wear shorts. Now, if you go to Saudi Arabia or you go to Dubai, you cannot wear your cootie cutters. Then you should not, probably.
And that's man or woman.
Walk through the hood. Man or woman. don't wear your cootie cutters in the hood in Dubai or Saudi Arabia. It's probably not the best.
Sir, please, sir. Sir, your balls are hanging out, sir. Please. Wear long shirts, sir. Sir, we don't need to see your balls, okay? Your woman's vagina is literally sticking out of her shorts. Please, sir.
Your pussy
cover her ass, please.
Yeah.
Cover that pussy. One of my boys was actually talking about taking a job in Bahrain, so I looked it up. Men can't wear shorts in Bahrain.
Jesus, I don't know. 1,000 degrees over there. What the fuck?
And I was going to say, like, you're talking about an average of 100 degrees during a certain season.
But you see what traditional Muslim men wear?
True.
They must have figured that. They must have figured out how to not be fucking, how to not explode.
Well, I think
it's the fabric.
Body gets acclimated to it. Because I always tell a story when we went down to Barbados for like a summer. You could always tell who were the foreigners because we were sweating profusely.
Yeah.
And all the Bajans were just chilling. Like we'd be in a restaurant, no AC, just crosswind, not a bead of sweat on them.
Yeah.
But all of us, we got towels, we are just literally
wiping donuts.
No, I know. I totally get that. I remember when I went to Senegal and I saw a guy in a puffer, a hat, and some Timbs. And it's 108 degrees. My man.
What are we doing?
What are you doing?
What time are we doing?
I am keeping it real, okay?
My nigga.
I got Timberlands on. Okay. Puffer jacket. Okay. I keep it real. Wu-Tang forever.
He wasn't sweating, but he was definitely hot. I don't give a fuck.
All right. And then finally, I'll leave you on a sort of humorous note. The older I get, the more I realize, I don't know 80% of the so-called celebrities by face. Like, if there's not a name attached, I can't identify them. I'll look at Shade Room and be like, who is this? Who is this person? Who are they connected to? Why are they important? I have no idea. And it reminds me of a story when I was in college. A friend of mine told me that his mom didn't know who Q-Tip was. And I to this day, I always think, or remember the way that I was thinking, like, how does she not know who Q-Tip is? And now I know. Because she could not care less, just like I could not care less. I don't know. Like I said, 80% of these people, I don't know why they're celebrities. I don't know what they do. It is bizarre that I am completely removed from that portion of the culture. Like, it's weird, but it is something that I have to reckon with, that, yes, you are too old for this. These people are 20 something years old.
And you have
nothing in common with them.
And motherfuckers will turn and look at you black. You don't know who Lil Toe Jam is, nigga? Like, that's
right.
You don't know who Lil Toe Jam is? Like, no, I don't know who Lil Toe Jam is. Who is he?
I don't know.
He has the greatest hit since ever. Like, what? Lil Toe Jam. Yeah, that's him. Fuck out of here.
So, this is Leon. That's my check-in. And I am done speaking.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Ben from Decoding 40, letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that got all our merch on it. decoding40pod.com.
Decoding40pod.com.
My check-in's pretty short this week. The highlight of my week, obviously, is the surprise birthday party or birthday gathering that my wife put together. It was started off as like we're just going out for dinner for my birthday. It was last week Friday when we dropped the other episode. And when she told me the restaurant we were going to, it was just like an average restaurant. Like it's not a special occasion restaurant at all. Like it's you feel like brunch? Yeah. Well, you'll make a decision on the day kind of place.
Like,
And I was like, okay, well, maybe she knows something about this place that I don't know.
It was like going to Chili's.
No, it wasn't quite that bad.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday Chili's.
But it wasn't this place is not special at all. But I'm like, all right, maybe somebody told her that it was really good and we should check it out. And while we're waiting for them to call us for the table, you know, she mentions, she's like, yeah, I think this place has a Michelin star. And I was like, I don't think this place has a Michelin star. This is because it's not, and by no means is this place fine dining. And so I'm like, nah, maybe they're in the Michelin guide. Maybe they're in there, possibly. And she's like, oh, yeah, maybe. So we go sit down. We order some food. The first, I ordered salmon or something. And like, the one thing that I cannot stand is overcooked fish. Mm. And I asked for the salmon to come out medium, and it was well done. You know, the thing is, like, I think they see a black guy, and it automatically is like, burn it.
Yeah, that's the only way he's going to eat it.
And throw some barbecue sauce on it, too.
Because I think maybe sometimes
sauce on the side.
People come in, they say medium, and they don't really mean medium. But I really meant medium.
I think that's what you should say.
Right. I know some people don't mean medium, but I really mean medium. I
really mean medium.
And it came out, and it was like eating a can of tuna.
Oh.
A dry can of tuna. Like you've already squeezed out all the water.
Mm.
And it's just and I can't stand an overcooked fish. So
like it was eating rope.
Yeah, I did. And I never send food back. But I was like, I can't eat this. I can't like power through this.
Right.
It's not going to work. So they took it back and he's like, oh yeah, we'll replace it. And then the second piece of fish they brought out was medium, but now it was flavorless.
Oh, wow.
But at this point, I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to eat it and I'm going to suffer through it. Because also my wife just brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
And she liked this place enough that she wanted to bring me here for my birthday. So I'm like, I don't want to shit on this. I'm like, just fuck it. I'll just eat it. And I didn't say anything to anybody.
You had salmon rope.
Stuff in silence.
I do. Suffered
in silence. It was a salmon that tasted like rope. Is this the rope salmon you've been talking about?
So we finished dinner. While we were at the table, say, "Oh, Shun just texted me. She's in the area. You know, let's go meet up with them." So I was like, "All right, cool." They're at the bar that the first bar where you guys were.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, "Oh, all right, cool. Let's go over there." And it's just a block away, so we walk over there. And as soon as I walk in the door, the first thing that I saw was my friend Nelson. He must have been standing under a spotlight because I couldn't see anyone else except him. Like the whole bar was dark except right. Nelson's face being illuminated by the top light from the bar. So I'm like, oh, okay. Now I know. Because that means that she went deep.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you guys are there. Mm. Now I know immediately. I know you guys are there. I know, you know, other folks are there. So that was a great surprise. That was awesome that you guys come out and help me celebrate my birthday. It's kind of a redo from last year because right. My wife had planned a surprise birthday party for me last year, but my dad had gotten sick and he was in the hospital and we didn't, you know, he was on the edge at that point. And I was in no mood to have a party. And I'm glad that she sort of told me beforehand and asked me if I wanted to, you know, to still do it. And I said, no, but it felt like this was a do-over. So I really appreciate you guys coming out and helping me celebrate my birthday. I want to thank my wife for planning this, because I know she doesn't really like to plan events and stuff like that, producing events. She's not, that's not her thing. So I know when she makes an effort like this, like, you know, she really stretched herself to make it happen. And I really appreciate it. So thank you, baby. I loved it. I had a great time. We didn't stay too long at the first place. We rolled over to the second place, and I really liked that spot. So that the second spot we went to was where she originally planned last year's party.
Okay.
So the back room is a cigar friendly area, and last year's party, she was going to have somebody rolling cigars, rolling hand rolled cigars. So it was kind of like a glimpse at what that night would have been. And it was kind of cool because I just ran into random people that I knew in the bar. And it's like, I go out now and I never see anybody that I know. Like you walk into a bar and it's like all 30 somethings and 20 somethings. And like, I don't know who any of you people are, but it was nice to go to a spot where I actually recognize people.
Somebody knows your name.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was cool. What else is going on? Back on the road tomorrow morning. I leave for Looneyville, West Virginia. It's actually
Looneyville,
West Virginia. And my guess is they don't have many stoplights.
And by stoplights, we mean black people.
I did. The first thing I do is I look up to see if there's been any hate crimes recently in the area. And I haven't seen, there's no hate crimes in the area.
Okay.
And then I look up like restaurants. And when I look through the restaurants, I always look through their pictures because there's always like customer submitted pictures. Mm-hmm. And if I see black people in those pictures, I will definitely feel a little bit safer. And I saw four black people. It was probably over 70.
Were they all together?
No.
Oh.
No. Separate parties, separate adventures. So
passing through.
So it's not in Looneyville. Like the restaurant wasn't in Looneyville, but it was like in the town right next door. So, you know, okay, I feel okay. And the other fact that I looked up was that this county was the second county the first county in West Virginia to join the Union during the Civil War. So, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before. But, you know, West Virginia kind of gets a bad rap, but it is West Virginia because they decided to split from Virginia to join the Union.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting fact. Yay! The people that I've met in West Virginia have really been pretty fucking awesome. They've been really nice people. Most of them are... I don't know if they're Appalachian people, the people that are from that area, from the Appalachia. And they are skeptical of outsiders. But once you're in, you're in. And it doesn't seem to matter, you know, what your background is. There's a Democratic senator from, but he's not really a Democrat, Manchin. He's kind of a piece of shit. Just because he's only looking out for oil and coal interest, not really the people's interest. But, you know, that's politics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's it. I am looking forward to getting back out on the road. I haven't been out for a while. You know, it's kind of nice to work, actually. Mm-hmm. It's nice to work. And, you know, I enjoy working with this crew and this cast. And it's nice to get back out there again. So probably throughout the summer, we'll be finishing up this season. So I'll probably be checking in from a variety of different spots.
Nice.
Yeah.
Although I have to ask, or you won't know, but or perhaps you won't know. I feel like the West Virginians at that time could have been a little bit more imaginative and come up with a different name.
Just call it West Virginia. Sounds good to me. Let's put it to a vote.
Think about a different name.
Well,
are we that committed to Virginia?
I think they were really connected to the Virginia, and they were like, fuck it, West Virginia.
Let's just call it West Virginia.
It could have been East Virginia, West Virginia, but Virginia was like, we're just going to call it this.
Well, there's another fun fact about West Virginia. Their state motto is "We like darkies." So there's that.
I think it's on the state flag.
Is that the official motto?
But it's in Latin.
Oh, yeah. That's why I've never seen it. Okay, got it.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's good, people? This is your boy, L.O., a.k.a. the Ad Man. If you like this show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
Yeah, 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 man. You know, real quick, happy birthday, Rick. You know what I'm saying? 51, and I'm the baby of the crew, and I'll be joining you guys in November. But happy, happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
My check-in. Okay, so, you know, I took a page out of Elle's book. I said, let me write some notes because sometimes I forget things, right? So starting, you know, last week, we got our uniforms, which is a big thing. So I'm suited and booted, ready to go. And, you know, it just makes it easier in the morning. I actually now have an extra 10 minutes in the morning because I already know what I'm going to wear. You know what I mean? Mm. And I started actually exercising again in the morning time, something that I really hate exercising. I'm not a fan of exercising. I don't like it. I don't get excited by it, but I know it's necessary because what I have realized is that I probably gained, I was down to about 202, 204 maybe, and I'm back to 215. And 10 pounds doesn't seem like a lot, but your knees will let you know that it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waking up in the morning and my knees like, son, what you doing? You got to slow the fuck down. What you think? You 25 again? So, you know, exactly. That's the fucking wheelchair. No, but I just, you know, got back on diet. I've been doing some juicing this weekend. And I also, you know, last week just started exercising again, getting that extra 5 minutes in before work. And it definitely helps. It definitely helps. And I am on a number of regimens right now. Not regimens, I guess supplements is the word I'm looking for, right? So I found this new supplement that's supposed to help with blood pressure, and it also is an energy booster that I bought. And I've been taking all these vitamins, and I never realized how important, you know, these supplements and vitamins are for you, because when you're young, you eat whatever the fuck you want to eat. You do whatever you want to do. You're not thinking about vitamins. You know, vitamins are for old people, but I am an old person. So hence the vitamins and the fucking supplements. So, you know, on that regimen, which is, you know, helping me out. And of course, Friday, it's funny because I called you early in that morning, Rick. And last week we knew about the surprise party.
Right.
Last week's show.
Oh, you did?
Because I was, when I had said something about, oh, your birthday's coming up, I saw Else look at me with this look on his face like, is this motherfucker about to spill the beans?
Cut it.
And I can feel Else looking at me like, this nigga's about to spill the beans. But I didn't spill the beans. And then I spoke to you that morning because I like to do is either call or give you a text like, hey, man, right. to anybody that I know. When I wish them happy birthday. So I called you that morning and I was like, so what are you doing today? My wife's taking me out to eat. I was like, all right, man. I said, well, you know, we got to get up soon and, you know, go smoke some cigars, something like that. So, yeah, your wife had let us know and sent out the text message a couple of weeks ago. I'm glad it was on a Friday and not any other time of the week because it would have made it really hard for me to go.
Right.
But it was, you know, we get out to Brooklyn, you know, the wife and I, we drove out there, got there in relatively easy, in a short time, because normally on a Friday night, it's like coming from Jersey, is the traffic is horrendous. But I actually went through Staten Island, so I didn't hit any of this city stuff. So we get there, we find a parking, you know, shout out to a friend of the show, Craig, because he was there. He said he was there like 7:30. So
was he?
Yeah, he was in true white folk form. He was there early as fuck. Like, you know, he was there. Yeah, because he said to me, he's like, he said an alarm or something like that on his phone. And he was there like real early. And when we're walking to the spot, which was like around 8:15, my wife goes, isn't that Craig over there? And I'm like, I don't know. Where do you see? He's like, yeah, he's in a truck. Is that him in a truck? And I'm looking around. I was like, well, She goes, does he drive a truck? I'm like, I'm not sure. Maybe he does. And sure enough, it was him. But we get there. So your sister-in-law was there with her husband. And we come in there. And I was like, all right. You know, nobody was there, obviously, at that point. And she had said, well, they're right across the street and they'll be here in about 15 minutes. So then Craig walks in and then Elle came in right after that. And I decide to say, hey, you know, I took the wife, you know, let's get a drink. And your sister-in-law looked at me and goes, it's going to take a while. And I, you know, I was like, what the fuck does that mean? So I go to the bar and I sat there and probably aged 5 years just waiting for him to look at me. And I finally, I was like, are you going to take my order or do I have to come back? Is this like tag team where you tag me in and I fucking make my own drink? Like, you know what I mean? So I finally get to put my order in. And because it took so long for him to take my order and I watched him make these two drinks that took like 10 minutes, I was like, I better fucking order two rounds because by the time I get this drink, I'm going to be twice as thirsty. The beers came right away because all he had to do was actually take the cap off. That didn't take too long. And as I'm ordering the drinks, I'm looking back at Elle and Elle's like, he's an artist. And I'm like, no, this motherfucker's a turd. There's no artisan. No, he is a turd. This dude was individually pulling off the mint leaves, putting them into the fucking mortar and pestle and crushing them. Then he would stop and have a conversation with the barkeep. The backstop and then the guy's putting in ice and then he's like talking, he's looking to the left, he's talking. I'm like, yo, if you don't fix my fucking drink, right? After waiting an easy 10 minutes to get my drink, I take it back. My wife goes, why did you get two rounds? I said, because it took me 20 fucking minutes to get a drink and I did not want to go through that nightmare again. By the time I get the drink, that's when Rick showed up. You know, Rick had a look on his face like, oh, surprised, but I'm not surprised because the jig was up. Because if we hadn't listen, we would have been where we supposed to be if it wasn't for slow bartender. So, you know, it was good. You know, we said happy birthday. And then once I got my drink and I took a sip, I looked at your sister-in-law, Rick. I was like, yeah. And she goes, yeah, I think we're going to get to another spot. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to the spot that we had planned for him last year. I was like, cool. Where is it? She's like two blocks away. It's like, I'm ready to go now. Like, can we just send him a text and say, meet us there? Because this bar was, oh my God, the drinks were horrible. But anyway, we all fucking get together in true Brooklyn form. And we basically would like, it was like a bar crawl. We went from one bar to the next. Mm. The next spot was a lot nicer as far as the vibe in there. The energy in there was cool. The bartender was an actual bartender who could make a drink in less than 2 minutes. And the back room of that spot was really, really nice. And they definitely had the devil's lettuce. My wife looked at me. She goes, are you going to be triggered? I'm like, are you going to be triggered? Because they're smoking reefer in here. You know, she didn't say reefer, but that in my mind, when she said triggered, I thought of the word reefer immediately.
Reefer madness.
Reefer madness, right? I said, no, I'm good. And I wasn't really worried about that. I wanted to smoke. Honestly, I was like, damn, I hope just inhaling this shit don't get in my blood. And my luck, they'll call me for a random, like, hey, were you smoking weed? And I'm like, no. But it wasn't that serious. Your boy, one of your friends was there that we were talking to that you said was an editor or something like that.
Oh, Sean Malcolm. Yeah.
Yes. We've had conversations before. I think the last time we might have seen him was at another spot in Brooklyn. But I do remember his face. But the vibe was good. Shout out to your wife and your sister-in-law for providing those tasty fucking patties that she had.
Mm. Yeah, who those made those?
I think an angel. They either came from Allen's or they came from a Haitian bakery. But I think
they were Allen's.
Allen's. The Allen's.
They were Allen's.
I initially turned it down, but I'm glad I relented. Yo,
I had about six of those codfish cakes.
Did you?
I had about six of them. They were fucking delicious.
Yeah.
It was
very, very good. Very, very good patties. What else? You know, because again, we see each other doing this, but to get together and actually sit down and have drinks, it's far and few between. And because you guys' birthday are like literally a week or two apart, we were able to kind of see each other in close proximity. Mm-hmm. Don't know when the next time that'll happen, but we definitely have to do that more often.
Yeah,
we got to do that once a month at least.
And it's getting warmer.
Oh yeah,
yeah. More options.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. It gets warmer and nicer at this time.
Craig had suggested we do the March Madness thing, but I thought about it. I was like, oh, that was drunk talk, because there's no way I'm gonna want to host a March Madness party. But I would like to do something there.
It's a dope idea, though.
I think doing a live there. You guys can chime in. Let us know if you want to see us record live. You want to be our live studio audience. You want to do a live, and if you know, pay $10.
Yeah, for those of you interested in motorcycles and
that
environment, and that would be a great space for us to kind of chill and drink and talk and laugh.
Craig's would be an awesome host. He's an awesome dude.
You know, so funny. Him. When I came in, I walked right by him because he just looked like regular white man Joe, and he clearly recognized me, but I didn't really recognize him because I didn't see him, but I saw Vin, so I was just walking towards Vin, and then Vin goes, you know, that's Craig right there. So I turn around, I'm like, oh shit, hey, what's up, man? But he looked a lot different than last time.
He has a more he was more biker before,
right?
Now he's now he's a little bit more clean cut,
right?
Now so he looks like
I would have never recognized him just based on the last time I saw him.
No,
so but it was good to see him. He is a fun guy. Yeah, like I really genuinely like talking to him.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah,
definitely a good dude. He looked he looked more biker. Now he looks like he owns a business.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
He looks like he's a business owner, and he's a father.
Business
and
owner Craig. Yeah,
yeah. That's business owner Craig slash dad Craig. So you know. Right. Shout out to him. Shout out to him, man. But it's always good to see him because he's just a good cool conversation, like and he's cool.
I see why you're friends with him. Like, he just has a cool like vibe about him, and he's knowledgeable, and it's just great conversation.
Yeah, and he's there for the jokes, man. He's an avid listener, and you know he's definitely one of our listeners. So shout him out, definitely. I'd love to do a show over there because I can imagine what
I think that's a great environment for it because it's intimate. It would be an intimate gathering, but we also have a lot of control over the space, and you know we can help bring attention to his business as well. You know, I've known that dude for 20 years.
Really?
Wow.
20 years.
That sounds about right.
2004, when I came back from, we met in 2002, but I didn't start working at the studio where he worked until 2004 after I came back from London. And we got into all kinds of shenanigans working together on the road. Yeah, those were the days when we drank all night. Did not sleep and rolled in to work, still stinking of booze.
I think the first time I met Craig was probably at Moe's, and yeah, it was drinks. That's the first time I met Craig, and I think it was then another friend of the show, Matt. It was definitely a Moe's situation, and Moe's is one of those spots. It was Moe's was like the first Stolen Jackets because Moe's used to be cheap.
Right.
And then, you know, they turn into Moe's and everything
else. It's funny now that you say that. I wonder if we were in there ever at the same time.
I'm sure.
It's very possible. Very possible. But you know what? Moe's went through a transition. I think it passed hands like three different times. Mm. So like now in Fort Greene, this is probably the only black bar, quote unquote,
because it doesn't feel as black though.
Well, it depends on what time you go there.
Yeah,
happy hour, still light outside. There's a sprinkling of new residents.
Yeah,
as the night goes on.
Yeah, and hip hop starts blaring. It's different,
and the music gets louder. You'll see them.
Let's go somewhere else. It's getting a little. It's getting a little tense in here. Yeah. Let's go.
It's a little too urban in here.
It's still a little urban. Yeah, it's getting a little ethnic.
By 11:30, you're dirty whining, and
and the only white people in there are the white women looking for hunting.
Right.
But Friday night was dope. I was pretty nice, to say the least, when I left. And I drove back, and unfortunately, well, this is one thing that I always do when I'm when I drive into Brooklyn and usually hang out with you guys or hang out with Rick, and there's been drinking involved. I got to stop at Ben's Pizzeria on the way home in the Village. So to get a slice to kind of soak up all the alcohol that I drank in Brooklyn. Wow. So we stopped there to get pizza. Me and the wife stopped to get pizza. And then unbeknownst to me, the fucking Holland Tunnel decided to be closed after 11 o'clock. And we got there 11:30. So I had to go all the way to the Lincoln. And because everybody was going to the Lincoln, it took me an extra hour to get home, 90 minutes to get home from Brooklyn. And wow. I was quite pissed by the time I got home. I put my wife in a bad mood because I was cursing and, you know, just swallowing the fuck out. Like I hate I don't like to drive. I don't like to drive anymore, especially in New York City. It just they've taken the fun out of everything because you can't go more than 5 miles an hour half the time because there's a fucking red light speed camera everywhere in New York City now. Everywhere you go. If you're traveling in New York, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't use Waze, you are going to get a ticket.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you have your Waze on.
You know? Use Waze or drive exactly 34 miles per hour.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't go 37.
Put your cruise control on.
Yeah. Mm.
But I finally got home, woke up the next day, and I think it was L that you put that meme in the chat where it's like, or I don't know if it was you or maybe it was in the other Decoding 40 Instagram chat where it was like, when you're 20, after a night of drinking, you're bouncing 30, 40. By the time you're 40, you look like death warmed over, like E.T. Right. at the end of the movie. And I'm like, it didn't even stop. It didn't even go to 50. So I'm like, 50, right. You must be like in a fucking grave or something like that coming out right. of the ground. But I woke up. I was feeling decent. I wasn't really hungover that much because, again, I had the pizza and some water before I went to bed. And I woke up pretty fine, you know. And then yesterday was kind of just a relaxed day. You know, my sister-in-law came over and my wife locked up her hair. And I spent most of the day on FanDuel trying to put these bets in and trying to get this money. Mm. And today I fucking had a bet in and I got nervous and I fucking opted out. And I could have, if I would have stayed in, I would have won like $300. But so, you know, so what? It happens.
Speaking of FanDuel, so I tried FanDuel last night and I did an NBA parlay. Mm-hmm. Ironically, I watch a YouTube video that says do not do NBA parlays. But I'm feeling special. I'm thinking, hey, maybe I'll get my beginner's luck type of feel. And lo and behold, the first game in the parlay, I lose.
Yeah.
And also, lo and behold, the other three games, I win.
Wow. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. The NBA parlay is very, very difficult. Yeah. I have a connection at work who I affectionately call Samantha Rothstein. from casino fame, but because her brother is like he's like a savant when it comes to betting. So this guy wins 5,000 here, 2,000 here. So I always reach out to her like, yo, what do you have as far as NBA? Because I'm lucky with soccer and tennis and sometimes UFC, like if the UFC is fighting, but like soccer and tennis, because the way it's set up, it's very, very easy to win. And I'm starting to learn based on European soccer as opposed to South American soccer, as opposed to American soccer, European soccer doesn't score very high. Mm. American soccer, they'll score like 8 goals. Like it's just because it's just the caliber of play. But I had 2 parlays in just this afternoon and I got a little froggy. I got a little nervous and I jumped off both of them. One of them hit. And if I'd have stuck with it, I would have won like $300-something and I didn't. But I did a large NBA parlay before we started today. I don't know if I'm going to hit. Probably not, but you know, it's worth the try. Like what I like to do is I like the long shot. So it's like if there's like a 16-17 game parlay and it's different players doing different things, rebounds, points per game, all that stuff, you do enough of them, the fucking to win one of those, you want to win like $100,000. So I'm probably not gonna win. So I'll bet like $2 just for shits and giggles, because in the off chance I do hit, I'm good for $30,000. If I don't hit, it's only $2. But I focus on my soccer and tennis, and I'll be sharing those parlays with you, L. So you can get the money.
I just have some bad news that I have to share with you guys. Because I know, it's really hard to express this, but I did not win the Mega Millions or the Powerball this weekend. And I know you guys are really looking forward to me winning almost $1 billion.
Yeah, so much so I didn't even know that that was on the table.
But, you know, I'm sorry. I apologize. I picked some bad numbers. I actually
did one number
pick.
Right?
I did a quick pick, and it just didn't work out. So my apologies that I didn't.
I was looking for that $1 million.
I don't. I'm really not into gambling. I don't like losing. I don't like losing. That's the problem. So
and that's what I was.
Even
just
if it's just $1 or $2, it makes me so uncomfortable. It pisses me off that I did not win.
Right.
But when you do win, because Thursday, what was it? Friday, going into Saturday, before I went to bed, when we got home from your spot, I won $120. Saturday into Sunday, I won another 100. So this weekend, I'm up $200, $200 and something.
Nice.
And here's then I won like 70 today. So
here's the thing with gambling. The longer you do it, you will piss away more than you win. That's the guarantee.
I get that, but I don't bet absorbing an amount of money. Like $20. So it's like, it's nothing that I'm going to.
$2.
Yeah.
You're going to spend more money betting than you ever win. That is the guarantee, because that's the only way that gambling makes money.
Eventually. But right now I'm up. I'm up. I mean, eventually, maybe. But like if it gets crazy for me, then I'll stop. But like right now, the way I bet and what I've won, I'm way ahead of what I've bet.
Yeah, you know, it's never going to get crazy all at once. But what you do is you keep going.
All right. So when I have a problem and I'm like, Rick, I lost my house.
No.
Just give me $5.
They only need that $2 to $5 over a long period of time.
All right.
Listen, I was going to say, I do feel for people who have gambling addictions, though, because
no, I do.
When I lost, I felt the loss, but then I was like, oh, well, I'm not a gambler. Yeah. But I there was a moment where I was like, oh, I can get right back in it. But I'm like, that's not me. But I could feel what someone who is a true gambler and has a gambling problem, I could feel that pull to want to get back in and try to make more money. So I do have empathy for people who have gambling addictions.
Well, you know, truth be told, I work with some cats, man, and these guys, like, they go hard. Like, they go fucking hard. Like, I'm mad if I lose $3.
Right.
So what I know it's not going to change my life if I lose it. That's why, like, when I win $300, I immediately take it out. I put it right back in my bank account. Like, I'm not going to let it sit there. And because the more you have in that account, the more you go, let me just bet $20 on this game. And next thing you know, you don't have any more money. But
also, I was saying you're risking them putting a freeze or hold on some of your funds.
Yes. Yes. And I'm not.
What?
If you had taxes eventually.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is just there's no reason. There's no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. They may think that you're up to something so they can get to hold it. But it's a wild, wild situation. Like I did a deep dive in terms of like the YouTube rabbit hole on I'm not going to say the platform because they're not paying us. But I was watching a few videos and some people were like, yo, they just put a hold or they suspended my account. Because I was winning too much.
Well, then there's that. I mean, you know, I guess that's why I'm under the radar at this point. But if I hit it big, they best be coming up my cash.
Yeah,
because I do not want to pay the offices a visit.
Right. There was one guy who had to sue them. I think he won like 82, 83, something like that, 1,000. And they had mistakenly put the wrong odds on the platform.
Oh.
So
that bullshit. That's like
came back and said, "Oh no, this was a mistake. So we are not going to pay you." So he took them to court, and they wound up relenting and paid him the $82,000-$83,000.
Jesus Christ! But
because it would have been bad marketing. I mean, that would have tanked that platform.
You welch on a bet,
right?
Yeah.
They would have. I can't even see them recovering from that.
No.
But yeah, that's been my weekend on the app and getting a little bit of dough here and there. I also want to shout out my youngest. Today was her first day at her new job downtown, and she woke up this morning and I made her some breakfast and I took her down to her first day at work, and she was so happy because she's working in a thrift store and she loves to thrift.
Right.
She loves clothes. She looked adorable, as she always does. And she, I'm just happy for her because she basically got her dream job in high school, which is working with Thor. She's incredibly lucky. I love her for her tenacity and just she sometimes she can work my nerves, but she is a hustler. She likes to make money and she likes to do it legally. So that's great. I don't have to worry about an OnlyFans or her trying to get on the pole, thank God, because she's not built that way.
Hey, let her know if she comes across any FUBU. You know, let me know.
Listen, well, it's a woman's clothing boutique, but she's had her first day of work and she says she had a great time. So we dropped her off and me and my wife went to this spot in Jersey City. Now, Rick, when you come to Jersey, because I know you're a vegetarian/vegan. Slash pescatarian.
I'm not a vegan.
Well, this spot that's in Jersey City Heights is fucking awesome. The food in there was so good. My wife had these vegan tacos. It was like a chorizo, but it was like vegan style. I had this burger that was like, it was like a smash burger, but made with impossible meat. The shit was so fucking good that we came home and me and my wife was laying down like, yo, I kind of want to go back to that spot.
Like right now.
Because I almost ordered this like chicken burrito. And I was like, yo.
You not order anything to go?
No, because you know what it is? With vegan spots, you gotta try it first. And you gotta go, okay, this is really good. I'll be back. I went as far as writing a Google review for this place.
Wow.
And I told them and I was like, yo, I just wrote a review for you guys. Your food is great. She was like, thank you very much. And I looked it in her eye. Remember this face. Because when I come back in, I want something free. Okay.
Oh, wow. All right. Let's give them a shout out.
This is a spot in Jersey City. It's on Central Avenue, Jersey City. It's called Vegan AF, vegan as fuck. Very, 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 very good food, very good service, very good people in there. You know, it was kind of a surprise. I was like, let's drop the kid off and let's go have some brunch. So next time you guys got to come out here like in the next couple of weeks, man. We got to hang out on a Saturday. We could start at Vegan AF, right? Get some good food and then head over to the cigar spot in Newark, which is always a nice spot.
That sounds good.
And get some good wine or something.
Or we could do it in reverse.
No.
We could do it. That's day drinking, though.
Let's take some food with us.
Go get drunk and then go back.
Listen, I'm older now, so I realize that I've got to have the food.
A layer.
Yeah. Like I can't be on some, let's go to another restaurant. No, I got to have the food with me in my pocket.
In your pocket. Oh, yo, every time I see you now, I'm a frisky beef patty. Yeah.
Yo, beef patty. Yo, beef patty, come here.
Yeah.
That is my check-in.
Merch drop.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's up, y'all? We need y'all to support this podcast. Pick yourself up a t-shirt, a hoodie. They're soft. They're poly tri-blend. Luxurious. They're furry on the inside. They're really plush. You can sleep in them. Your wife can sleep in it. Your daughter can steal it. And she can sleep in it. Go over to decoding40pod.com and get yourself a t-shirt, a hoodie, whatever you like.
Decoding40pod.com.
If you live in the New York area or you've been watching the news, apparently, we had a case of when keeping it real goes wrong on the subway, and this past week we had a subway shooting, and this particular individual, he spent 13 and a half years in jail, but didn't learn anything about gun control, obviously, because he lost the gun and got shot with his own fucking gun,
right,
and is now in critical condition as far as I know, and also got stabbed by the victims. I don't know if it's his girlfriend or just someone who felt some sort of solidarity to him and decided to poke this motherfucker in the back with whatever she had in her hand. I don't know if you've got, I'm sure you guys have seen the video out there. What do you think, guys? What type of stupid shit was this?
I think the last thing I read, though, I just want to say is that he's in stable condition.
Okay.
So he is probably going to make it
and to go right to back to jail.
Oh, yeah. Have to deal with all the repercussions. Because I'm like, you're menacing, you're brandishing weapons. You're a felon with a gun in New York.
Right. God damn, the video, right? You got shot. You got shot, and now you're gonna go to jail for that gun.
You got shot.
You had it.
And the crazy thing is the guy who did the shooting, the victim, quote unquote, who got the gun from him, he's not going to get charged, and he shouldn't be.
Let's dismiss all of this. They haven't even charged him yet. Talk about dismiss. They haven't even charged him yet. As far as
they're not going to
recording. Yeah,
I'm curious to see the actual shooting wasn't caught on camera, right? Like, you could hear the gunshot, but you didn't see the gunshot.
No.
I would be curious to see if it was warranted.
So apparently there's a video. I haven't seen it yet. I was talking to a friend earlier today that you can see where the victim, I'm putting that in quotes, takes the gun out of the aggressor's hand.
And then shoots him?
But you don't see the shooting. You can just see where he grabs the gun out of his hand.
Right.
Steven Seagal.
Because that's the point where if he was going to get charged, that's the point where it would make a difference. Like, once he got control of the gun, was the guy coming towards him or is he trying to flee?
I would say the fact that he brandished the gun makes him the aggressor. So if I get the gun, then this is...
The law doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, that's what I'm saying. That's going to determine whether he gets charged or not. If the guy is then pursuing him, now that he has control of the gun...
He didn't run away.
He shoots him.
I understand.
We don't know. Like,
he was shot in the face.
He got shot in the face, but was he fleeing? If he's moving away from you and he gets shot in the face, or if he's coming towards you and he gets shot in the face, it makes a difference as to whether you're getting charged. You don't think the law makes a difference?
I see what you're saying, though, Rick.
I agree. I also
think the case. But in this particular case, when you look at the initial video, he was fucking with him from the jump.
Yes.
Right. And then he had him down. And then the other young woman stabs the guy in the back. And then he reaches for the gun. And then you don't see anything because everybody starts fleeing. Mm-hmm. But he was definitely going towards the guy with the gun. So I'm going to, based on how he was acting throughout the video, up until the point where he pulls the gun, I'm going to gather that when that guy grabbed the gun, there was a tussle for that gun.
Because he was the aggressor throughout the entire time.
All of that is speculation.
No, for facts. But I'm just saying he was the aggressor during the entire encounter.
Yes, absolutely.
There was no point. Matter of fact, the only time he stepped back was to go get the gun.
Yes.
I'm not disputing that.
No, but I'm just saying it's for me, it's a bit incredulous to believe that now that he has lost the gun, he's going to now retreat. Even when he was stabbed, he didn't retreat.
So you don't think if someone took the gun from him, that it may be possible? Is it not possible that once somebody sees that a gun is now pointed at in your direction, that you might try to flee?
I think if you are in a non-aggressive, non-bully type of posture, maybe. But this guy was a fucking bully. And I'm thinking, again, based on what he was doing.
But a gun in their face may not be charging towards the gun.
I think he went to go get the gun.
The gun is in play because he went to go get it.
That's not even a dispute. I'm saying what is going to make a difference to the prosecutor.
And what
the law will prosecute versus what's morally right. We obviously know that this guy deserved what he got because he was being a complete asshole to him and the rest of the people on the train. But the law is very different. And these prosecutors are pieces of shit. And you know that. So the idea that if someone testifies that the guy was running away, yes, he will be charged with.
I think it's
he will be charged with shooting him.
Anybody,
if the guy is running towards him, it's self-defense. Because there's two different things happening.
I think it's going to be too difficult because, one, you can tell within that period of time, everyone's trying to get away from the situation because they see him brandishing the gun. So then the next thing you have to determine is, okay, you see there's a video, apparently there's a video where he's taking the gun. The other guy is taking the gun from him.
Yes.
So my position would be, if I'm his defense attorney, I'm taking a page from the police officer's book and saying I was in fear of my life. Because throughout the entire encounter,
if you are his defense attorney, that means right. He's been charged.
So but, that's what I'm saying.
So we're basing this on the fact
that you're saying that he would not have a defense as to
no
where the charges would not be dismissed automatically. And I'm already saying that the DA has not pressed any charges. They have already waited for more information to come out. Because if I feel right. like if they thought that he was already in the wrong, they would have pressed charges and at least arrested him. He's not been arrested.
Right. And what will determine whether he's going to be charged or not is the posture of the person that was that originally had the gun.
Right. But who? How are you going to determine?
Were they because how else do you determine any case?
He got shot in the face.
Testimony and through eyewitnesses.
But he was the aggressor. How are you going to determine? You're going to take the position of the aggressor saying that I ran away?
He was shot in the face.
There were eyewitnesses, right? There's a train full of people.
Eyewitnesses are not going to be credible witnesses. They were all in duress. How are they going to possibly be able to say, I know for a fact that he was trying to run away?
Well, they were all trying to run away. Especially
right, they were running away.
When the gun came out, nobody was looking at this dude. They were all trying to get the fuck out of there.
I think you guys really think the fucking law is fair.
No, it's not a question of fair law.
I think you think the law is actually just.
No,
I actually think you're making that argument because
no, I'm not that making that argument.
I'm saying morally in a fair light that he possibly could have been the person who was trying to get away or retreat. And I'm saying based on everything that has happened, it is suggested or should be suggested that he was the aggressor from beginning to end, and that it would be unreasonable to suggest that someone who was aggressive. Let me finish.
You're speculating.
Who was aggressive throughout the entire event would then at some point have the rationale to say, OK, now I need to go and retreat.
You're making those leaps based on speculation on things you did not see.
No, I'm making those based on
basically on what you did not see on the video.
But what's
going to make the determination of whether he gets charged or not is what was his intention at that moment when he got.
How did you determine his
intention? Was he retreating? Because
how do you determine that?
If you're fighting, hold on. If you're fighting, hold on. Let me say it.
How do you determine if somebody's retreating or if somebody's pursuing? You can't tell the difference.
I think the standard is if someone feels like their life is being threatened.
You know, he's not a police officer. He doesn't get that kind. He still has the right latitude. He's not a police officer.
He's got the right. Yes. He has the right to protect himself. Though,
yes,
right?
he does.
Self-defense is determined. Self-defense is determined if you're in imminent danger.
He was.
How was he not in imminent danger?
So, hold up. So, let me ask you a question.
What determines if they would charge you and if you're in imminent danger is the position of the person that you just shot. So, is this person coming at you or is this person going the other direction?
How do you determine that?
Hold up. What do you mean? How do you determine that? Hold up. One second. Let me bring this back in. Let me bring this back in and let me tie it into a nice little knot. You guys remember Bernhard Goetz?
Yes.
Yeah, we remember.
Case closed. Bernhard Goetz. He didn't. Did he go to jail?
He did go to jail.
When did he go to jail? Did he get off? No, he got off. He got off. He shot those motherfuckers pretty much in cold blood back then. He played the victim, this guy, and they didn't do half the things that we seen in that video.
I thought he went to jail.
Bernhard Goetz did not go to jail. Hello, Google?
Yes.
He beat those charges.
Did Bernhard Goetz go to jail?
Stan Goetz was an American jazz saxophonist. I hope that answers your question.
He did go to jail. He was guilty of third degree criminal possession of a weapon. Not guilty of remaining charges.
Yes.
Now the thing with Bernhard Goetz is what determined whether he was going to be charged with murder or assault or whatever was the posture of the person that was coming at him. So if they determined that they were being aggressive towards him, then they charged him with only the weapons possessions. If they had actually done the investigation and saw that people were going away from him, it wouldn't have been the same. Wow. It wouldn't have had the same results.
You're jumping. You're jumping.
All right. Well, listen, based on the law.
You're jumping.
Okay. We understand what you're saying in regards to the law, but I'm going to look.
That's where I started and that's where I ended. It has nothing to do with how I felt or what I felt this guy deserves. I said the prosecutor is going to determine whether they're going to charge this guy on where he was going, not on how I felt about it.
How are you going to determine where he was going?
I'm not the prosecutor, but you can imagine that they are going to investigate and talk to everybody who was in the area at the time.
And wherever he was going is going to determine
how they proceed, whether he gets charged or whether he doesn't get charged.
I'm going to tell you right now, when you get questioned by the prosecutor, because I had to go down one time because there was a gentleman on a train that got removed from the train by two police officers when I was working down at South Ferry for the MTA. This guy winds up dead. From the time they took him off the train, he looked healthy. They put him in the ambulance. By the time he got to the hospital, he had died. Don't know what type of drugs he was on, whatever the situation was. When they came and asked me questions, the questions were like real simple. Was he alive when you saw him? Yes. Did you see the cops do anything wrong? No. What was the nature? What was the attitude of the individual? Was he combative? Was he this? Was he that? They're not going to ask questions. They're going to ask simple questions. And most people in that situation on that train car are going to be like, I didn't see him walk away or nothing, because as soon as he pulled out the gun, I looked the other way.
They're going to be horrible witnesses.
I had a similar story.
I think, and I talked about this on the show when I witnessed a murder homicide. Homicide suicide, whatever it's called. And then I had to go down to the station, had to go through the whole questioning. And then months later, the family wanted to dispute the findings of the case. So they had to call me back and ask me, hey, did you see the gentleman shoot the woman? And did you see him shoot himself? And that's really all they needed to know. There would have to be a video pointed directly into the subway car to show him moving away from or trying to retreat from the person who took his gun that he got, that he obtained and maintained illegally. So it's like, what are we trying to prosecute somebody who defended themselves for? So part of the law has to...
You make it sound like it's unheard of.
No, I'm not saying it's unheard of, but part of the law, the speculation
on what anybody saw that you did not hear from is wild.
There are people trapped in a car hearing gunshots
You have no idea what anybody saw. And you're completely fabricating a scenario where they saw nothing.
But I'm pretty sure we've all been in a situation where gunshots have gone off and we could not possibly be credible witnesses, because there's other things rushing through our mind in terms of our safety and getting away from the scene.
Pure speculation, because I don't know. I don't know who was there. I don't know. There was tens of people who actually were within eyeshot. That doesn't take into account people who were on the opposite platform. That doesn't take into account police who heard the shots. It doesn't take into account people who were in other cars. That doesn't take into account any of that stuff. So the idea that there's only one perspective.
I didn't say there was one perspective. I said, but you're talking about people who heard the
shots. You said no one saw anything other than what.
I didn't say nobody saw it. I'm saying the people who
saw it are
under duress, so they would not be credible witnesses.
In what courtroom?
In several courtrooms, and probably all.
Are you joking? Every eyewitness to an actual crime is under duress, but they take their statements and they testify in court every day.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Are you saying the only people that are allowed to testify are people who did not witness this and who were not traumatized or who hid their. I don't understand. Eyewitnesses testify. I'll break down for you.
Most testimony is incredible.
Yes.
Because people, even in their best opportunity or their best light, can't remember facts and details as they occur.
And when does that stop prosecution?
What do you mean? When does it stop prosecution?
The facts that you just laid out, has it ever hindered prosecution? Has it ever hindered somebody's prosecution? No. Prosecutors prosecute.
Oh, yes. What are you talking about?
All right, listen. Eyewitnesses
aren't credible, but that doesn't stop prosecution. These courts are full of people being prosecuted.
Let's wrap this up.
With eyewitness testimony.
Let's just say this. He hasn't been charged yet, and he's probably not going to be charged.
Right.
Based on the posturing, and he hasn't even been arrested. So more than likely, he's probably not going to be charged, and he shouldn't be charged because
based on what we know,
he shouldn't be charged. So let's just leave it at that. All right. So good luck to the guy who shot the guy, and hopefully he doesn't get fucking locked up for defending himself. But anyway, Decoding 40. It's about that time to end the show. And as usual, I'm afraid to even ask this question today. What have we learned today, fellas?
I learned that if you fuck around, you'll find out.
This is definitely true. L, what have you learned?
Yeah, I think if you're going to brandish a gun, you just need to start shooting and not show it off and get too close to the person you're about to shoot.
Facts. I learned that dude obviously took a couple of those classes from that black dude that be snatching guns from people.
He watched all of the videos.
It worked. And learned how to take a gun. And I'm thinking, like, the dude probably should come out and say, see, you can't take a gun from somebody.
I got sort of caught up in this back and forth that we got into, but I wanted to talk about the terror of the people who were in the subway car, who may not have even seen the altercation, but heard gunshots going off in the subway. Mm-hmm. And when I saw people running out of the subway station, I imagined the terror of thinking that this was a mass shooting happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would have been freaked out by that because, you know, you're trapped in this tunnel. You don't know where it's coming from. And, you know, we've had people who have entered the city with the intention of doing mass killings. Thank God they weren't successful. These homegrown terrorists. Thank God they weren't successful. But I feel for the people who were in the train and were having that moment of thinking, you know, they were going to get cut down.
For sure. Speaking from experience and having been in a situation like that in a closed space and shooting going off and bullets flying and people, the cries for help and I've been hit and all that shit is something that I'll never forget. And it's something that is not taken lightly.
You know, wait, when you said you've been hit, what does that mean?
No, I wasn't hit. People saying, screaming that I've been hit. And then also working for the transit system and knowing how tight those cars are, knowing the type of equipment they were on, that there's no going through the doors in between the cars because of the length of the train car. They cut those doors. They keep those doors closed. They don't want people riding in between those train cars. But yeah, there's no way of getting out. You're literally trapped inside of a box. So that there's that. I'm glad that nobody else was hurt. Nobody else from transit was hurt. Nobody was hurt outside of the idiot that pulled out the gun and got it taken away. And that's a blessing. Because bullets don't have any names. And those train cars are made of fiberglass. Bullets could go through that. So thank God nobody else was hurt.
Did somebody really yell out, I've been hit?
No, when I was at that comedy club and they shot that shit up, dude was like, I got hit.
I've been hit.
Yeah, I'm hit. And he was leaving. He was leaving the front. It's not funny. He was leaving the front door. I'm positive. I remember that.
Suddenly I'm hit.
He was leaving the out of the spot, and he was at the front of the spot where the bullets came through, and he was like, I'm hit. And he was like limping out of the fucking spot.
Oh,
fucking bleeding. And then when I saw him leave,
yeah,
I said, okay, they're not outside. When I saw him leave, my first thing was, if they shoot him when he leaves, then I'm not leaving the spot. And now how the fuck am I going to get out of here? But once he got out, once he started like limping out of the fucking front door, I fucking ran out of there and kept it moving.
Mm.
Wasn't waiting for the police. I wasn't going to be a part of no fucking conversation. I was out. And that's the end of that.
You don't snitch.
I don't know anything. And that's that. So this has been another episode of Dakota 40. Like always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, give us a call at 619-940-4040 or reach out to us at Dakotan40@gmail.com and send us a message, you know, see how we're doing, check in with us, and let us know what we're doing right, doing wrong, or indifferent. And as we always end the show, peace.
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 Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.